in darkness. God cannot lie. Titus, another place where he brings this out. Titus, right after Titus chapter 1. Let's just read, we'll read a couple of scriptures starting in the beginning. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, godlikeness, or holiness. The truth is after holiness. The truth is according to holiness. The truth is about holiness. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began, but has in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. God cannot lie. He's promised us this hope in eternal life, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ, which comes manifested through preaching. Through preaching. So everybody should be preaching the gospel at some point. God has to fill us with his Spirit to bring forth this truth, the unadulterated truth. That's the problem with Christianity since the ebbing of the Holy Ghost after Pentecost, whenever that occurred, when the flesh, the world, and the devil infiltrated and camped out, got an encampment. So now we got to break all these shackles of religion and all this stuff through all the traditions and all the centuries that is just taught us. That's what this is about. It's a master in the sense of the New Testament, especially when it's a term that's directed to Jesus, is about a teacher. He's talking about a teacher. And then when he talks about master, he always talks about a disciple or a servant. And the disciple is the pupil. So you have to have a master, and a master will have pupils, will have disciples. So now you see Oprah Winfrey out there. She's in a sense a master. She's basically a hired hand, but she's speaking in the stead of, she's an ambassador for the God of this world. Derogatory about the gospel, talking about how she used to be a preacher girl. I used to be a preacher girl. Back when she was a little kid, you know, through her early, her adolescence, through her early teens, talking about how she was a preacher girl. And she used to, and the people used to say, here come that preacher girl again. But just the way she talks about the Lord, you could just hear it in her voice. I used to read these books back when I was in my 20s called Dune. It was science fiction. A guy named Frank Herbert wrote these books back in the 60s, I think. And then they didn't really make inroads. At least they didn't come on my radar until like the 80s or so. They were strange. It was strange, but I would soak down anything, you know, except the truth. But the truth was really never presented to me. And you think about that. How many people have really, really, really not even been presented the actual truth to where they could actually be convicted? Because heretofore, everything's been just whitewashed in religion. You got Roman Catholicism. You got all this other, if it's not Roman Catholicism, then it's like the stereotype of the Baptist, you know, fire and brimstone, you know, and it's like it's just condemning. And Roman Catholicism is just like, that's just weird, you know. It's just like, what is all this? What? But think about how the mind will just follow after that just because that's how you were brought up. Every one of us was brought up with a certain tradition, be it religious or not religious. Oprah was brought up in a Christian home. So she was a product of that home, being a teacher, or a preacher girl, like she put it. But when she talks about the Bible, now she says that my favorite verse is in the Psalms when David says, "Delight in yourself, and the Lord will give you the desires of your heart." I heard her say that on an interview, and that's why I thought about that. Well, actually, I thought about this before, but then I heard this. I was talking about Dune, and in the novel, or the, you know, it's a fiction novel, science fiction, and they had these this order of all women, and they call them Bene Gesserit, and they were witches. They used the term in the book. They were, and those that were against them called them witches, which is what they were. And they were just, it was all women, and they were just disciples of this motherhood, whatever it was. I don't know what their foundational beliefs were, but all the whole story had a messianic complex to it, where this one guy was the Messiah. And, you know, that's how the world is just inundating people through all these teachings and all these philosophies and stories and myths, all about a savior. And it's just gumming up the works, muddying the waters. People are just, they'll believe anything. So that's where we are at the point now where any religion is valid. Whatever you believe is true, that's your truth, and that's how you believe it to be. So be it. Who's to say? It's just this relativism. It's coming down to relativism versus absolute truth, which is not wavering, not changing. This is the way. There's only one way to eternal life, and that's through Jesus Christ. Eternal life as opposed to eternal death. There's only two masters. There's only two roads. And there's only one way to Jesus. Only one way to the Father, and that's Jesus. And you can get through the devil going multiple different ways. You'll end up on the same road, which is going into that lake of fire. That's just how it's going to be. God is going to purify the entire world, the entire universe, every single dimension is going to be purified of that satanic chromosome. That's how it's going to be. The thing will not be in the kingdom of heaven. So, hey, it's time to come over on this way. Come over on this side of the tracks over here. We're going up to heaven. It's impossible for God to lie. So these witches would use what they called the voice, and they would be able to speak something, and it was, you know, which is, that's just common witchcraft, but it was just kind of brought forth in another way to see it how. And then they came out in the movie, and they did a pretty good job of displaying that, where the voice had this reverb effect, and they would speak something, and it would just, you know, you've seen it, but somebody would just get mesmerized, and it would just kind of get trance-like, and then, you know, like a zombie. It's like, yes, master. And do whatever they were told, because the voice was manipulating their minds. That's what's going on today. That's what Oprah's doing when she talks about the Lord and delight in yourself, and He will give you the pleasures of your heart. This is wickedness. People are going to be laughing about that. Oh, it's like, but is that not right out of the Aleister Crowley book? How they twist the scriptures, even not even believing it, but they're still, that's witchcraft. Talking about the scriptures like that, twisting it, delight in yourself. Do as you will, and the Lord will give you anything you want. Man, get away from me. Get away from my kids. Get away from anybody that's seeking after holiness and righteousness through Jesus Christ. Believe it in this Bible, having faith in Him. growing in faith, which is from Him, the faith that Jesus has, to be just dead to the world and against it. You want to be against the world. So God cannot lie. So we've got to go back to John, 1 John rather. I guess we'd better pick up the pace here a little bit here. Just when you think it's going to be a short Bible study. Okay, we're done with 1 John 1. Let's jump over to 1 John 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. Even now, as John wrote that, the spirit of Antichrist. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Okay, here's our two masters right here. Who's your master? The one that's in you or the one that's in the world? We gotta have the Lord in us. He lives in us, and we gotta be extracted from the world, because the devil master is he that is in the world. They are of the world. There's they again. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world hears them. So that's why the world is just enamored with cars that drive themselves and technology. We're going to be able to fly to Paris in like 15 minutes or something from Los Angeles one day, and all this wonderment coming to the planet because of who we are. We are human beings. Man, the world is so ate up in pride and arrogance of themselves. It's love of self, love of man. Anybody that comes in his own name, you will follow him. Jesus said, follow me. Not anybody that comes in his own name. So we just, you know, humans just go after anything that's appealing to the carnal nature, to the flesh. So if it's technology, anything that makes life easier, more comfortable, we want that. But they're making a separation. They're bringing it forth. Talking about Bernie Sanders, what they're doing with him is they're showing him as this radical socialist, pitting him against Hillary Clinton, who's, for all intents and purposes, socialist, but just not as radical as Bernie Sanders. So now Hillary Clinton is going to seem a little more to the right. So this is the old Hegelian dialectic. This is all that psychobabble, witchcraft. They're just playing with people's minds. So they put Bernie Sanders out there as this extremist, pitted against Hillary Clinton. Nobody else around. It's just them two. And I'm telling you, man, you got to get away from that as fast as you can. Because Hillary Clinton gets elected president of the United States. You talk about their handwriting being on the wall. Man, it's all but over at that point. And now, you know, the presidency of the United States. You know, Barack Obama was the very first sitting president to ever go on a late night talk show. And that was like in 2008. Right off the... He just got elected and he's showing up on The Tonight Show or whatever. And now every last one of those guys, Donald Trump, running for the presidency of the United States, is going to host Saturday Night Live next week. Man, a police. You have got to be kidding me. And they're going after these young people. this witchcraft, this sorcery is being targeted to these young people. And a lot of young people could not care less, but they're bringing it to their attention. They're forcing them into the media that the young people are focusing on and bringing it to their attention. Oh, I think hopefully some older folks need to be, you know, snapping to here, waking up out of the coma and realizing that this is all game and you've been played. Anybody that engages in that back and forth with that Republican Democratic garbage, you're being shanghaied, you're being bamboozled, hornswoggled, duped. You're being deceived. Because it's the devil. It's coming from the kingdom of darkness. It's all darkness. But if they are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world hears them. So you focus on all your attention on here and now, and that's where you're going to be. You're going to be in the world. Who's your master? Who's your master? We are of God. He that knows God hears us. He that is not of God does not hear us. So that, you know, at that point, what's so difficult about this? Why strive with people? At that point, all you can do is pray for them. I was looking for somebody on Facebook the other day. He had the same first name of this guy I found who I was actually friends with, but I just, you know, got tired of seeing all his crazy posts about, you know, Joel Osteen and Joyce Meyer and all this other, you know, silliness. So you just blog, you know, not, you don't blog, you just hide their updates or whatever so you don't see them. It's like, I gotta, you know, if I'm on the thing, I don't want to see all this garbage. And then I said, let me go see what he's up to. So I poked onto his page, and there he had shared the message from Sunday. What was the name of it? Sleeping with the Enemy. Shared a message from Omega Ministries. And it was like, wow, that's, you know, I'm like, well, that's good. Michael might be coming around. You know, that's, even though the post right below it was Joel Osteen's daily Facebook post, you know, and at some point though, if you can sit here, you know, you either really listen to this, or you got ulterior motives as to why you shared a message from Omega Ministries. Because if you can listen to this, then that's good. If you're sincere, keep listening. Because look, we're not here to do the same old, same old. We're here to bring an end to this world. Our children need salvation. The devil is going crazy, bringing out all these drugs and legalizing marijuana. Now Canada has a new prime minister. He's said he's going to legalize marijuana. This place is going to hell in a handbasket and a half. Not to mention the sexual diseases that are just off the charts, off the charts. A friend of mine was telling me about his brother. He ran into some guys that knew his brother, said that, he got some videos of him sodomizing this girl, and they're all like, hur, hur, hur. It's like, man, the depravity and the diseases that people don't even know that they have, and they're just sleeping around and having sex, just hooking up and doing all this casual, you know, non-committal, because it feels good and it's fun. Man, you're going to reap in some tears, man. Sow and enjoy, reaping in tears. It's time to end all that. But hey, this is just depravity. The world is depraved. These kids, man, you can't just sweep Satan under the rug, man. Forget that. The devil has to be exposed. He has to be called out. And that's how it's going down. That's why it's going to become so volatile as a Christian, as a real Christian. If you're in between, you know, and if you're floating Omega Ministries over here and Joel Osteen over here, you better get off the fence. You best make up your mind. Because this ain't no Joel Osteen. Joel Osteen is a deceiver, and he's deceiving. He's deceived himself. Some of these people, I was thinking about somebody like that. Surely there's got to be a moment or two when the guy's just alone at home, and he's just got sitting there with his laptop, and he just, let me just, you know, we have a propensity for this. We want to know deep down a lot of times. You got to be delivered to this, but a lot of times we want to know, what do people think about me? And I thought, you know, these guys, especially if they're really in the flesh like that, that's like an automatic, you know. It's like, let me go search on YouTube. Surely they would have to see all these. I mean, how many countless videos are there talking about the deceptive teachings? A lot of them are just derogatory, and they, you know, they'll be basically cussing out these people like Joel Osteen and Creflo Dollar. It's like, man, these people need to be saved. They need to be delivered from the deception that they're in. If there's hope, if they can be, if they haven't been given over to Satan, if they haven't sold their soul and have crossed over into that reprobation, and there's no telling what people have done behind closed doors. That's why I say it's like you just don't know. You don't know who your neighbors. If you don't know your neighbors, you just don't know what these people are doing. People are having sex with their pets. I'm telling you, man, it's off the charts, man. It's off, like the kids say, off the chain. I'm telling you, man, these people are having sex with their pets like crazy. Divorced, lonely. Come here, Fido. I mean, you look at people, you see them. I mean, come on. You don't try to block this out of your mind. It's just nasty, but it's real. That's what people are doing. They're doing it. You see them kissing all over their dogs. And you know how a dog is, man. A dog will go sniffing around anywhere. And one day, you know, when your guard is just a little bit down, kaboom. It's ugly, but hey, that's what's happening, man. Get real about this. Quit playing around. They want to talk about how God just uses, he used Moses, who was a murderer. David was a fornicator. He uses anybody. And my answer to that is, no, he doesn't. Not until we repent. You have to repent. These people are coming off with all this garbage. Like, you just do whatever you want and God will use you. No way, Jose. Ain't going down like that. So you got to test the spirits. Those that... And John dealing here with Gnosticism. That was one of the things that John was contending with back in those days, was these Gnostics. Now, one way that I see this, when he says in verse 2, when he says, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Everybody says that. Roman Catholics say that. Oh yes, Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh, and he is of God. Okay, just because he said that doesn't mean that he's of God, right? If the Pope is sitting there telling you that, I confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Okay. Does that mean he's of God? I think the emphasis has to be directed to the word confesses. And that word is homologeo, which is to basically say the same thing as Jesus Christ would say. The Jesus Christ, the real Jesus Christ, not the other Jesus Christ, but Jesus Christ. This is the Gnosticism that's transcended to today. It's this coexist mess and all this other garbage that, you know, God is love. Now, you know, obviously, that every spirit that doesn't confess Jesus Christ has come is not of God. But you got to test the spirits. That's why he said you got to test the spirits in terms of who's really saying Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. You hear that, you got to test that spirit. So they are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He that knows God hears us. He that is not of God does not hear us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So I know good and well that the Lord, as merciful as He is, He's let people go their ways. He's winked at the sins. He's winked at the religious hypocrisy and all the pomp and circumstances. Now it's getting down to people's lives are just in turmoil, and they're getting tired. And I know God's going to open their eyes. So I pray for these people that are on the cusp. You know, they're on the fence. Come on over here, because He says we're of God. If we're really preaching this gospel to bring freedom, to bring deliverance, not to browbeat anybody, not to be an accuser ourselves like the devil is. We're just dealing with reality. We just have to come out of the world and change directions, and everything's cool. So, He says we're of God. He that knows God hears us. So if you know, if you're turning to the Lord, the truth is going to just, man, that's true. You got to stay the course, man. Don't just, you know, listen to one message and go, oh, yeah, that was good. Man, keep coming. Taste and see that the Lord said. Okay, we'll finish off in Matthew chapter 6. Who's your master? Who is your master? This is where it gets pretty clear. Especially because it's the Lord talking. You know, the Lord, Matthew chapter 6, is in the midst of what they call the Sermon on the Mount. So you basically go from Matthew 5 all the way through Matthew 7, which is, for the most part, red letter all the way through, which is what Jesus was talking. But it's funny how you see how, you know, and this is just another example of how loony religion can be through, you know, tradition shows us through all the paintings, especially all the artwork. You always see the picture of Jesus at the Sermon on the Mount, and there's just multitudes of people around, you know. But just go back to Matthew chapter 5 just for a sec. Just the very beginning. We got a data dump religion, man. But in the very beginning, okay, this is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount. You see all the paintings where Jesus has got all these hundreds and thousands of people around, and He's at the top of a mountain, and no microphone, and there's people, you know, a half a mile down the hill, and Jesus, they probably heard, it's like, wait a minute. How could they? He didn't have a sound system. How are they going to be hearing Him down there? And in the very beginning of chapter 5, and seeing the multitudes, He went up into a mountain, and when He was seated, His disciples came to Him. And He opened up His mouth and taught them, saying, Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 7. And it's like, the world is so crazy. Oh, it's the multitude. He spoke in parables to the multitudes. This is just plain old straight talk right here. All the stuff He's talking about here. This ain't no parable stuff in here. This is all just straight talk, man. Okay, so we're going to Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 19. Who's your master? This is where He really narrows it down. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. So notice how he's talking about where moth and rust does corrupt. So the two things that you think about with moths is clothing or cloth. And then rust does corrupt. That rust, the word means eating away. So it's essentially something that corrodes. Rust is a logical translation for it. That would have to lend itself to something metal, something metallic. I think money. I'm thinking money. Obviously, you know, the Romans had armament, and there was some metal being used in those days, but I think the primary metal that was used for money back in those days was bronze. And bronze won't necessarily rust per se, but it will corrode, and they got this thing called bronze disease, where you get a chemical reaction that'll take place and it will eventually eat away, just totally destroy bronze. So clothing and money, you know, those are two things that you can think of to kind of get the picture of what he's talking about, where a moth and rust. But don't lay yourselves up these things, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where these moths and rust don't corrupt, and no thieves can get in there. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So if you lay up yourselves treasures upon earth, then your heart is going to be in the world. If you lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, then your heart will be in heaven. The light of the body is the eye. If, therefore, your eye be single, then your whole body shall be full of light. But if your eye is evil, your whole body will be full of darkness. And if therefore the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? That is one of the more phenomenal statements in the Bible. There's many phenomenal statements. This is in the top 10,000. This is phenomenal. I mean, you could sit there and just, I mean, the light of the body is the eye. If your eye is single, then your whole body is full of light. If we're following the one master, the right master, the Lord Jesus Christ, singly following after him, then our whole body shall be full of light. But then he says, if your eye is evil, the contrast being between single, light, evil, darkness. So you have to be able to logically apply multiplicity to the evil. Okay? And that's where if you're following after the world will just lead you down all kinds of rabbit holes, all kinds of trails, all kinds of roads, all leading to one place, which is eternal damnation. Beware that the light, you perceive this light in you as light, but he says it could be darkness. And if that's the case, he says, how great is that darkness? That's terrifying, man. That's scary. And when he talks over and over the New Testament, Jesus himself, talking about be not deceived, don't be deceived. John, we just read, many false prophets were there back then. You don't think this thing is multiplied beyond anything we could fathom now? I mean, everywhere you look, man, every time you turn on the news, anything that has to do with especially something that's educational, man, you got to really have your guard on. You got to guard your heart, because they'll be seeping in. That's why you might as well just kick back, watch some sports, because the movies have all this innuendo in it. The late night TV is just inundated with homosexual innuendo. They're coming out of the woodwork. brainwashing people with this stuff, and we cannot be partakers of it. Here we go. No man can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So, mammon, translated as riches, most people see it as money. Okay, that would point me back to the thing that the rust would corrupt. Because everything about the devil's kingdom revolves around money. Now, go back, let's look over verse 24. No man can serve two masters. Okay, so you know that he's saying you can only serve one. So, there's only two masters, really. It's either God or Satan. That's just it. People may not... Okay, we worship God the Father. We worship Jesus Christ as Lord. So we're explicitly declaring that. You know, you explicitly declare that in prayer, and you say, Father in heaven, Lord, you pray, you know, you talk to Jesus, you talk to the Lord, you address Him as Lord, you talk, you know, Lord, Father, you know, we talk to the Father, we talk to the Lord. So you're making a declaration specifically to them. People that worship Satan don't necessarily have to do that. You're not seeing people that, okay, and by default, if you're not worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth, you are worshiping the devil master. You are worshiping Satan. But people aren't bowing down and sacrificing goats on an altar for Satan and got, you know, statues of the Baphomet in their house and all this kind of stuff. And they're not, hail Caesar, you know, or hail Satan, like Anton LaVey, hail Satan. People just, they worship Satan without ever thinking about Satan. You can't worship the Lord Jesus Christ without never thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father and keeping your mind on heavenly things and staying in His Word and crying out to Him every day for deliverance and salvation and interceding for others. But people, if they don't worship Him, they're worshiping Satan. And it's going to revolve around money. And that's just how it is. We get so caught up in things. And man, we got to be delivered of things. Just knowing that. Well, let's read on. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. This is where all this is going as a real believer. Take no thought for your life. Who cares about this life? Why do I care? Why do I get so, you know, my guts tied up in knots sometimes about things? If it's work, if it's something that you're dreading the next day, you're like, you got this, and you get, He says, take no thought for your life, or what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. So don't think about what you're going to eat, drink, or think about what you're going to wear. Who cares? Is not the life more than the meat? Is not the life more than food? And the body more than clothing? Look at the fowls of the air, for they do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are they not much better than they? I mean, in a bird, living outside and living in trees, and bird ain't thinking about nothing, you know. But that's how we got to be. It's like, what's a bird sitting there thinking about? Oh man, what am I going to do tomorrow? Oh no, I got to go fly over to that house. I got to eat that bird seed out of that thing. Then I got to go fly over there. And it's like, oh man, what am I? Oh man, I don't want to go. The bird don't think nothing about that, man. What's a bird thinking about? Probably just singing to the Lord. That's what a bird's doing. Singing to the Lord. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his own stature, to his own height. None of us, by thinking, can add anything. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. So why would we even think, what am I going to do? What have I got to add to this? Man, I got nothing to add. All I need is the Holy Ghost. And just fill me, cleanse me, purge me, and tell me what to do. Let me be obedient. That's the only thing you can do. But you taking thought, worrying. I mean, that's what he's saying. Just by worrying. And why do you take thought for clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't toil, neither did they spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. So even all that Solomon had, man, the lilies of the field have one-upped Solomon. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? How Jesus seems to slip that one in there. You of little faith, me worrying about my dinky little existence. That's why we think we're so much. Because of all the training we've been given as disciples of the devil master. As the master that we've served for the better parts of our lives, just being shaped and molded by the world and all the philosophies and all the systems, by our family tradition, just being shaped and molded and coddled into this thing that is not even really us. It's just a figment of an imagination for all intents and purposes. But he takes care of the grass, which is today, but then tomorrow, grass is cast into the oven. He's going to take care of us. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Again, he's repeating this. He said it in verse 25. So he's repeating it. Take no thought. Consider the grass, consider the lilies, consider the birds. And then, take no thought for your life. Just trust me, is all he's saying. Just trust me. I mean, if he takes care of these seemingly insignificant creatures, how much more is he going to take care of the apple of his eye? You know, he created us in his image, and we just get so worried about stuff. And, you know, God, help us. Help us with our unbelief, he says to us, you of little faith. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, all these tangible physical things. This is what the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Here we go. This is where the rubber meets the road. But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So that's, you know, you can chew on that. What we're living in. What this time and space continuum is. What is it really? Where Jesus almost gives life to a day, you know? He says, don't even think of tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. It's like we're living in something that's organic. Even time itself is organic. And that would make sense if God, he made time, he brought it into existence. There has to be an organic nature to it, and it's corrupting even right now. Time itself is corrupting. And remember, we're not promised for tomorrow. So we gotta be obedient to what he says. Take no thought for tomorrow. Take no thought for what you're gonna eat, what you're gonna drink. Don't worry about it. But trust in the Lord. That's all we got to do. Trust in the Lord, and He'll give us these things. Seeking first the kingdom of heaven. We can't seek after any other thing but the kingdom of God and His righteousness, so that these things will be added. Everything that we'll need individually and corporately. If the church can just get out of the world, man, don't you think that this right here, what he says, is going to apply to the corporate body of Christ? If it applies to me as an individual, if it applies to you as an individual, don't you think that God is ready to go with this? But he's waiting on us. God's just sitting there going, "Will you please?" I always think of Jesus sitting there at the right hand of the Father, just like, of course, he's patient and long-suffering, but I just wonder if maybe a couple times he maybe tapped his foot, you know, I was like, come on, will you guys get on with the program here? God, we just thank you, Lord, that you've given these spiritual things for us, spiritual blessings from heavenly places to anchor our souls to you, God, that you teach us, and we're your disciples, and we yearn to follow just wholly after you. Keep us from following after the devil. Keep us from being double-minded. That's all the whole spectrum of Satan's kingdom and that multiplicity, where you tell us that keep our eyes single, our whole body will be full of light. But if you're double-minded, if you're always trying to think ahead and plan ahead, it's going to just cause confusion and chaos in your soul. And you're just saying rest. Just be at rest. God, do whatever you got to do. Dry up this thing, Lord God, till we get to that point where how can the prophecy be fulfilled without a valley of dry bones? Everything has to just dry up until that time, appointed time, when the manifested sons are resurrected in full power to reap in this harvest. It's at the end of the age. God, you've called on countless millions through the eons, through the ages, to bring this, and now we're down to the ninth inning, bottom of the ninth, two outs, 3-2 count. And God, we gotta have our swing at this. So Lord God, forgive us for our lethargy, God. Deliver us from all evil. Keep us from the wicked one, God. And we just praise you, Lord, because you're our God, and we just want to be your people. We want to be in our right place to serve you, our Master. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.